Blog Talk Radio.
My guest today is FBI Art Montgomery. He's calling in from San Diego, California. How you doing, Art? Art, you here? Art, how you doing? Oh, we'll be right back. I'm Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Stan. How are you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. I'm glad that you stopped in for the show today.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to meet you and the people listening too.
Yeah. It's I know we had a mix up this morning with the time limit. I think I should have looked on that time clock online to see what time it would be for the East Coast time and the California time. But I think it was basically my fault. I should have got all that calculated. I ain't used to talking to somebody from California, man. Something new.
Yeah, well, that surfer guys, we get things goofed up. I get like, dude.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It's good to talk to you, man. I saw a lot of your things on YouTube, and some amazing stuff that you do. And you live in Vista, California. Is that where you're from? Or
I live in Encinitas, California, but right next to Vista. That's where our church is, in Vista.
Okay. Now, how big is your church down there?
Hey, we're probably maybe 100 or so, you know.
That's,
you know, because we mean mainly on our church, we are outreach church people. We go to the streets.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go to the streets, you want to sit back and you'll probably go to another church. But we're outreach-minded. We're on the streets all the time, and we're out doing the gospel, demonstrating the gospel. A lot of people don't like that, but that's all right. Hey, blessings on them.
Amen. That's where all the real action is going on, in that street. And that's how you bring people to the Lord. And a lot of people, you know, when they start their churches, they're just hoping people walk into the church. You know, they're like, we'll send out advertisements, and, you know, luckily they'll see the advertisement and they'll come to our church, and, you know, it takes a long time. But when you're out on the streets and you're showing them the Lord and you're showing them the way, that brings people in too. And I saw a lot of people build their church that way. But the main thing nowadays, what I see is, you know, getting that word out to people. It's not all about building the church. It's all about building the body of Christ. That's what it's about.
Yeah, it is.
The body of
Christ. In most churches, you don't see many people salvation every week, but there probably isn't a week that we do not see, you know, somewhere between 5 to 50 to 100 people accept Christ in the streets. You know, that's just how it is. If you hit the streets, the harvest is just great, and they need to, and these straight conversions. I just did a couple of YouTubes, in fact, on Facebook and YouTube, you'll see them, and people have been radically saved. One kid I met a gang kid, and his name was Jesus, or Jesus, and I met him, and he was in gangs and doing heroin and distraught, and I led him to Christ, got him filled with the Holy Ghost, got him speaking in tongues, and when I did that, and then I grew him up, a half-inch taller, too, at the same time that day, and it was so radical. Well, this is a year later. He just gave a testimony that I saw him at Transit Center, and he had his laptop there, and he's now going to college with an $18,000 scholarship. He had never passed an exam in his life before, and I told him to go in. My secret exams is go into the exam and speak in tongues a half hour before, and don't think anything else. Just speak and go in and have fun, and you'll do great. He got in the 95%, and he never passed his exam in life. 95% of everybody that ever had a GED in California, and now they give him a scholarship.
Amen.
And he's on fire for Jesus, and he's always praying for people on the streets with me.
Amen. Amen to that. And I mean, it's good to hear people, you know, going into the Lord like that, and, you know, having the mind of Christ is what they say, you know, and doing stuff like that. But, you're the CEO of the FBI organization, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm the co-founder, you know.
Co-founder. How many people have you got into your organization since the time you started?
Well, I've trained up probably, you know, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 FBI agents how to share the gospel over the last 7 years. And we've led in San Diego, we've led over 30,000 people to the streets of Christ on the streets of San Diego. And that's not counting where I've done worldwide. you know, that we've gone out and set FBI chapters up in Africa, in Italy, Philippines, you know, places like that. We've also done, and you know, the Indian reservations. So, but that's just in the California alone. So, but we've got FBI chapters now everywhere. I'm going back to Africa. I just got back from Africa, going back in June, and we're going to do a huge FBI fair. I'm on the radio every week in preaching in Uganda and the Congo. So we're building our chapter. In June, we're going back to do a big conference and open-air crusades. So that'd be good. And, you know, and then I'm heading to Ukraine October to train people from Muslim countries how to go back into the Muslim countries and share the gospel with the power of God, too.
Amen. That's what it's all about. You know,
yeah.
You know, when Christ sent his 12 amongst the world, you know, when he first, you know, got carried up, you know, they went in through all the world, and, you know, they had situations they got into, and, you know, that's how the word got started, you know, amongst the world, just through those 12, and the way they did their ministry, a lot of that died over the years. You know, everybody thought they had to have a tremendous church to minister the word of God. And over, you know, over a couple hundred years, it's got where people didn't really go out and minister a whole lot. It's just, you know, to the sick that's in their church, or, you know, to people that's in their church is the only ones they'd actually go minister to. And I think the Lord is calling us to go back how the original disciples did and really start building this church back up, because I think the religion has actually killed some of his church. And it's actually not the power of God, and actually not, you know, they talk about Jesus in the church, but they don't really show him. It's just doctrine and you know, going through all these type of different routines and stuff they do, that they don't really show the real power of God anymore. And, you know, they might say a prayer at the altar, and that's about it. But,
well, in the early church, where this came in, they used to go out, and he was under persecution, and they used to go to a person, and he'd go to a different city because they're under persecution. They wanted to know who was a Christian or not. The guy say he was a Christian, well, they know there was a spy. So they would bring him in and say, okay, if you're a Christian, and they'd take him over to a sick person and say, get him healed. If he couldn't get him healed, they'd say, the spy, get him out. That's how we've dumbed down Christianity. That nowhere in, I'm not saying that's all completely correct, but that's how the early church did it, and I got that from Curry Blake. But that is what it is. The power of God has got to be in your gospel, or you've just got a good doctrine like everybody else. You can talk good, but can you demonstrate the power of God? Can it flow out of you?
Yeah.
You know, preach somewhere, very rarely you'll ever say me preach before I get up and say, okay, let's just put myself at risk here. Come up here right now. Either you got a short leg, I'll tell somebody they got a short leg, I'll grow out their leg, I'll heal it back. And I said, I start out with a demonstration of the power of God and then give them the message. But the power of God has to be in the message, or you can't. I'm just a great speaker. So.
Yeah. That's one thing that the cross had to do when he went into the Jewish synagogue. He had to promote the power of God. Now, if Christ had went into there and couldn't show the power of God, we wouldn't be hearing about him today, you know. And
it wouldn't be
that's
dead.
One thing.
But if you don't, it says in John 14, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. I mean, the works, his sign, his confirmation that the Father was confirming his message.
Amen. Yeah, that's one big sign of God there. And, you just talked about your mission trips a little bit there. What all type of miracles have you saw on your mission trips?
Well, this last one I went to, which I went, and we got there, and for 6 days we went there, and every day we would figure that God cannot do more miracles than he did that day. Every day for 16 days he topped it. Every day he exploded that place. We went in there, and I'm kind of a radical guy, you know. If anybody watches me, I'm off the charts. I do crazy things, but if the Spirit of God says I do them, and miracles flow, and we saw a young girl that I thought a young 16-year-old girl, an orphan girl that had never walked before, at least I thought, somebody else said she hadn't walked in 7 years. They carried her in to the deal and carried her in, picked her up in her arms, carried her. She's very little, and they carried her in her arms and put her down. And I said, okay, fine. We won't pray for you now. So I put her right up in the front of the stage and set the stage behind us preaching. Says we're going to preach the whole time. Let God, the angels, the devils, and everybody see this. See it. Watch this. And at the end we preach. We're going to turn around, and that girl's going to walk. And so we finished preaching. And I just turned to everybody and said, let's go do our business. And we walked over. I told my friend Silver, and I got it on camera. I says, okay, walk over there, grab that girl up, stand her up, and start dancing.
Amen. Well, that's amazing.
And she started walking. Church,
yes,
the first,
amazing.
And those were popping, you know, deaf people hearing, people that never spoke before in their life speaking, the stroke people throwing away their canes, people hadn't walked since 1988, demons flipping over chairs backwards in the air, you know, and casting demons out and bringing the fire of God on people all over the church. And I went to the marketplace, and I'm a street guy. I do a lot of preaching, but I love the streets. And so I said, you guys got me into church all the time. I've got to get to the marketplace. So I had them take me to the marketplace where there's, you know, Christians and Muslims everywhere. And so thousands of people. So I just walked in front of them out there and just started screaming the top of my lungs and saying the name of Jesus. And everybody looked at, who is this wild man from America? And so I just started preaching and then showing the gospel. And then I started grabbing people and started getting them healed. I said, watch this. You got a short leg, sit down, boom, heal. You got back pains, boom, heal. We just started getting Muslims started coming up and getting healed, and they'd bring Muslims to start bringing people up that never spoke in their life before. We'd pray for them, they'd start speaking words. Blind people start seeing. I started throwing the fire at everybody. I just started fire of God on you. And everybody started feeling it. And then people from all over were grabbing their hands. Muslim, everybody were accepting Christ right in the marketplace. So we just radically, when we go into a place, we go in with radicalism. And I say cross the chicken line. If you want a miracle, you got to cross. If you don't cross the chicken line, you get little miracles. Cross the chicken line, you get big miracles. Muslims were coming in. And that's how I got on the radio station in Uganda every week. If the radio station went by and the marketplace said, who is these crazy guys, these FBI guys, on our radio station? And I never even dreamed of being on radio. But now every week I, you know, so, and I get people healed all the time on the radio. I'm praying for people on the radio, you know, speaking in tongues, you know, we just go at it. So.
Amen.
So we get as radical as we can, and I find the radicalism, the faith in God, the more you expect God, the more greater miracles you get. You know, we went to the hospital, praying for people in the hospitals, getting people up. So pretty crazy. You know, so.
Amen. Amen. It's amazing to see somebody step up and do that. I mean, I prayed for some people, and, you know, I saw them get healed, but I never have been able to get to that point that you guys are at, you know, go out to somebody, you know, at a restaurant or out in the street and do that. And that's why, you know, I would like to do one day. But it's amazing to see guys like y'all doing that. I mean, I saw, you know, Todd White, you know, I saw him standing in Las Vegas in front of a casino healing and preaching the word of God. And I was like, man, you got to have some nars to do that now, you know, in front of a casino. And seeing, you know, people like you are, you know, going overseas where, you know, murders and stuff is going every day and still, you know, giving out the word of God to people and seeing miracles happen. And it's just, you know, it really gives other Christians, you know, something to work for, to strive for, to get to that point. And
well, that's our thing is excite everybody else. You know, we try to be as bold. If anybody sees me, we wear these black shirts, great big signs that says FBI on it. And we take it right into the Muslim areas, whatever it is. And we as bold as we can. You know, I have the hair, you know, and we kind of be extreme. And I found out the bolder you are, everybody likes it. no matter what people say, you can't do that, Art. And I never listened to that. I just never ever listened to that. We've just gone. I've had people I've spoken every, you know, 50 pastors hit the ground in Africa in their suits, roll in the ground, just roll in the ground in the dirt, and all start speaking in tongues at one time on a word, you know, bang, you know, and they were in a, it was the tension started and just broke the tension. And so wherever you expect great things, you get great things. But, and I try to get around that, to get out of there, to come out, and then they become that person. You know, they're not all as crazy as me. I have some pretty radical guys working with me, you know.
Amen.
You know, as, I do a lot of miracles, but I've got a lot of guys that work with me that aren't quite as maybe as flamboyant. They're just as good as me or better, you know, and women and men. And then over in Africa, I had people get up after I trained them. They went up to the hospital. One guy got up, and a pastor said, I was dead till I heard you speak. The fire started in my stomach, and it started burning, and I went to the hospital, and I prayed for eight people in the emergency room, and all eight of them left, and the emergency room was empty.
That's, amen.
And that guy, I'd never done that. And an African, after I preached, he did it. He outdid me.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
That's pretty but cool when you get, when you, the body of Christ is rising up. You know, the body of you guys out there, you're rising up. You're becoming the champions God's called you to be. Say, hey, you know, I tell everybody, say I'm a champion. Go ahead. Say I'm a champion. I'm a champion. Champion. Christ lives
champion.
In me.
Hey,
the Lord
lives in me.
Lives in me. Hey, yeah, I have people saying that all over Africa. Champion. I'm a champion. And you start putting that in your system because a champion never, ever quits. Champion gets knocked down. He gets up. He never, ever quits.
Amen. Yeah, it's amazing. Now, what has Christ taught you? You know, taught you through all this. Has there been many lessons that He's taught you, and different things He's taught about you, about yourself through these miracles and through your ministry? Because I know all of us ministers, we're being taught every day through the Lord through many different things that we do. How has He taught you things through your ministry?
Well, through my ministry, it taught me to always trust Him deeply. Stay close to Him, because without Him, you go nowhere. My dependence on Him is increased, and my dependence on Art has decreased. You know, and because I found out that if I want to do anything in God, I have to disappear. And I have to go out boldly and forget about all the things at that moment Art's learned, and then listen to the Holy Ghost, and listen to that feeling, that impression, that life that jumps in you, and it increases your walk. And what it does to you when you do miracles, here's people who don't understand this. Ephesians 1:18, it says, you know, open my eyes that I may see and I know the glory of your inheritance and the power that works within me, that we might know the power that works in me. Well, when you work in miracles, what happens is you start off, in every miracle you do, you don't consciously, you don't know anything, but your spirit man starts to know. The more you do, that your spirit man's just build up. And then you learn to listen to your spirit man, not your natural man. And it's pretty soon your faith, because you know the Father. As you do, not as you think about, but as you do, you get to every time, I know the Father's backing me up because He did this the last 50 times. He will be here again for me. And you, God, it's in your spirit man, and it builds your faith. But every time you do it, you start to know it. Like me and you, we just get to know each other. But if we live with each other, I would know what the next word you're going to say. You know, I know exactly.
Yeah.
I know how you're going to act if I say, your mother wears combat boots. I know exactly what you're going to say. you know, because I get to know. And that's how, that's your, when you're in enough battles with God, you learn how God, what you know God's ways, not just His actions or His miracles, but you know His ways, and that's what you learn to do.
It's kind of like I had this upholstery class, which upholstery classes teach people how to build furniture, And we had a class where nobody really taught them much and all that, but they had one day where they took all the students out to bring frames in off the transfer truck. And when we all got together and started working together, we started learning each other and knowing each other more than we ever did by working together. And that's kind of like what you're talking about, God. If you're working with him every day and you're working with him, you know, testifying and working in miracles, you know what he's going to do. You know what he's not going to do.
Yes, and, that's it.
Yeah.
And that dependence. No, I know what God's going to do. I know what God thinks about this. Not that you know it any more than you did it before in your mind, but your spirit man knows it, and your spirit and the confidence you have in it. Not your head confidence, but existing confidence of walking with him enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's,
I got probably growing out maybe 300 legs, you know. I can stand on my head and know exactly what's going to happen. I grab a guy's legs. And before I even start doing it, these legs are going to be staying in, and those legs will start popping out and moving and growing. But I don't have to worry about it because I've done it so many times with my father. When I started out, I didn't know that at all. And I go, I'd be, you know, 10 minutes before I grow a leg out a half an inch. Now it's nothing, 2, 3, 4 inches, doesn't matter, bang. I know exactly, because I ain't doing it. I know exactly what God does it, and he knows we just kind of work together, you know. And I said, my father, he wants to do this, you know. So that's signs and wonders and miracles will bring you in a closer relationship with God. And if they don't get to your head, you don't think they're doing them, it'll bring you close.
I know there's some people in the ministry that, you know, they start walking and anointing before you know it. They're making the cash and they're, you know, going opposite way. But, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, it works in this, and they've really used it to raise people up and make them a better person, to heal people and bring people into the body of Christ. And, you know, you're one of the ones that's brought people, you know, bring tons of people into the body of Christ just by doing it, by using it as a tool, not as a tool for yourself, but a tool to build the body of Christ. And, you know, it's real good to find people like y'all that's building the body of Christ like this. And I think more people like it needs to be out here on the streets doing that, building the body of Christ, not for their own good, but for the body of Christ. And that's the way the disciples did back, you know, thousands of years ago. They did the same thing. They were using it. I mean, that's why, you know, Christ gave the Christians that ability, is to build his body, build his church, not to just watch it, you know, swiver away, and whoever had the most money and make it a, you know, a social venue where you can, you know, have a, get entertained. It wasn't all about that. It's all about growing your spirit, being more in Christ and being more like him, and building that kingdom. And that's one thing, you know, I wish more churches like today. You know, they are. I mean, there's a lot of things falling away from the church today that people was just not interested in anymore. They ain't interested in their entertainment or eating their cheese and drinking their drinking their Kool-Aid at church, you know. And, you know, it's more people out here getting on the street and getting their feet dirty and doing what they need to do.
Let me show what God, I've been doing the streets about 2 years. I've been in the streets, so I'm a street guy. I love streets.
Yeah.
But I've always asked for one thing: let me be able to bring the presence of God on people real quick, and then let me teach me how to do it that everybody else can do it. And I'd like to be on the radio audience. This is Signature Deal. We start in Africa. I do everywhere on my gospel tracks. I have these gospel tracks with this on it, and people get the fire. The presence of God will hit you. It's going to hit your audience. The presence of God, they'll all feel it. I guarantee this. And this is wild. You know, God gave me this and showed me how to do this. And these people, now you can do it to other people. But watch this. I'm going to talk to the audience. Everybody will do this. I want everybody right now to close their eyes. Close their eyes. And just close your eyes and say these words, and then just wait a little bit afterwards quietly. Okay, close your eyes and say this: Jesus, I'm precious to you.
Jesus, I'm precious to you.
Wow, did you feel that?
Yeah, I felt some energy.
Right. Everybody.
Yeah.
Some people feel it all day. Some people will get full visions of Jesus. Some people will see a lightness inside their chest. Some people will, it will knock on the ground. Some people, they see golden halls and gates. Babies, when I've told people, babies have flipped over in the womb. Those words in Africa, people will start screaming up now, I'm precious to God. And I have atheists. Believers instantly with those words, and because they've never felt the prayer, Muslims become to Christ just like that on those words alone, just that. All your doctrine, but as soon as when you say it and you shut up, the presence of God comes out of heaven and hits the person, and then they know God is real. Listen to your voice, and that's a quick demonstration of that. I have that all my. I've passed out over 500,000 gospel tracts with that on it, and it is touching people all over the world, you know. It's a powerful saying, and that's what we're convinced. I think that's going to be the new word of evangelism. Then they'll listen to your message because you know the presence of God hits everyone. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it's really important for people to know that they're precious to God because, you know, people – have a real problem believing that because, you know, churches have been teaching for so many years that, you know, we're all sorry sinners and we've got to do this and we've got to do that to get to him. And, you know, Jesus already paid the price for all that. We just got to accept him.
I told a lady one time that was ranting and raving, and this woman was messed up. I mean, this was one, if you think of anybody you think we wicked or not, she was ranting at the deal. I says, I couldn't get in word. I says, ma'am, close your eyes and say, Jesus, I pray. She said, no, I can't do that. I said, just do it. And she was ranting and raving in the public just about demon possessed. And she said this, and she go, oh, my goodness. I said, I want you to know the most wicked person in the world is precious to Jesus. And he wants you to come to him, not run away because you think you're too wicked. Come to him, let him clean you up. And it starts touching people, and it penetrates people. He died for you. You are precious to him, Noah. How you think you are precious to God. You're precious to Jesus. You're precious to Jesus. You know, I'm precious to Jesus. Say that over. I'm precious to Jesus. It helps you. It starts breaking barriers, religious barriers.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, to see people, you know, get this into their heart and watch God work in their lives. And that's one thing that the Healing Lot's all about. It's all about, you know, people seeing the power of God and seeing that he is real, that he is, you know, working in people's lives and seeing him transform people. And it's amazing just seeing stuff like that and let people open their hearts to that situation. But Art, I want to thank you for coming on today. I'm glad we finally got on here. And
well, I am too, you know, and it's blessing, Stan. I'm sorry I messed it up, but, you know, Stan, I just want to leave you one last message. You're a champion. You're a warrior for Christ. You're bold. You're full of joy. You're a son of God, and every one of your audiences is, and I just leave you with fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost on everyone in that audience. So we're going, God bless you guys.
Amen, Art. Now, like I said, I want to thank you again for coming on here. Would you want to say a closing prayer for the audience?
Yes, I'd love to. All right. Father, I thank you for every champion that's listening to this radio station, Father. I thank you that you're stirring them up. You're stirring up in their insides. The power of the Holy Ghost is moving all throughout their bodies, Father. I thank you. I release the glory of God upon them through the airways, Lord. Let it flow. Let the fire of God flow all throughout their bodies, their hands, their feet. Thank you, Lord, that it moves them up. Break all lukewarmness off of them if they were lukewarm right now. Give them the fire of God, Lord, to go out and touch people, to reach the lying world, realizing they are champions, Lord. They're not just ordinary people. They're sons of God. Thank you, Lord, that they know that when they speak, the devil obeys and men get set free. Father, I want you to put your grace upon them to make them come alive, let them know they are Christians, that they're bold, they're strong, they're mighty because you live in them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they become the Davids, the Davids to take down Goliath. They don't just sit around. They don't just eat popcorn and sit on the couch and watch TV and get fat. They are stirred up, men and women, out changing this world. They are world changers, Lord. Let them know they are world changers. Christ lives in them. He is the hope of glory lives in them. Father, thank you, Lord, that you would excite the fire of God. Unleash your fire, fire, fire in them, Lord. Stir them up by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Art.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Well, thank you for coming on the show again. And, you know, if anybody's interested in seeing Art's videos, it's called FBI Art on YouTube. And you do have a website too, don't you, Art?
Yeah, I do. FBIChrist.com. That's FBIChrist.com. And my YouTube channel is Art Montgomery. And I'm on Facebook too, FBI Art Montgomery. So just you can just Art Montgomery on YouTube. I have about 80 videos on there of demonstrations of power on the street, you know, prayers, how to get yourself healed. You know, I have a video just to how to get yourself healed. It's really touching a lot of people. If you got healing, I'll show you how to do it. You know, so it's pretty cool. You'll enjoy it.
That's awesome, man. And, you know, maybe you come on and talk some other time. You know, we get
together. Hey, I love to, man. I love to, bro. And we'll even get the right time.
Yeah, we'll get the right time next time around there. But
May the joy of the Lord rock you guys all week long. Blessings, blessings, champions.
Hey.
God bless you.
Hey, amen. And God
amen.
Bless you, Art. Thanks again. And
all right.
I'll be back. I'll be back on here next Thursday. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a dozen sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come? Your healing comes through tears. And what if the thunder? your mercies in disguise.
The walls hung open slowly to Lily. can be found. And like the rain, I have been carried here to where the river flows. Yeah. My heart is racing and my knees are weak as I walk to the edge. I know there is no turning back once my feet have left the ledge. And in the rush, I hear a voice telling me it's time to take the leap of faith. So here I go. I'm diving in.
Sweet.
darkness and light, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in.